This is Morning Edition from NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley. New Hampshire's Office of the Child Advocate is launching a review of some practices used by residential youth facilities in the state. Child Advocate Moira O'Neill is taking a look at how both private centers and the state-run Sununu Youth Center use restraint and seclusion among children in care. O'Neill joins us in the studio now to talk about the review. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming in and the time. Can you explain situations in which a worker at one of these residential centers might use restraint or seclusion?
Sure. I mean, that's probably a good place to start. But even a step back further, I just want to be sure we're clear on we understand who the children are that we would be using restraint and and seclusion for. So New Hampshire has about 400 children who are placed in residential or institutional facilities, and also a few at the Sununu Youth Services Center. Some people will describe some of these children as the worst of the worst. We try to avoid that kind of characterization. Generally, these are children who have experienced abuse and neglect. Some of them have been quite traumatized. Some of them have developmental disabilities. And overall, most of them have been placed in facilities because of behaviors. Our concern is that when children have problematic behaviors, we want to be sure that we are assessing and understanding why they have those behaviors. What is it that they're trying to communicate to us? What are the antecedents? What happens that causes a child to behave a certain way? And what is the treatment that we've developed around that so that children are able to develop more internal controls and communicate in more healthy ways?
I'd imagine that you are seeing children in many cases that are being restrained multiple times, and these behaviors are not being addressed, or the reasons that these behaviors are coming forth all the time are not being dealt with.
Right. So this is the third point that it's important to make, is the importance of reporting the use of restraint and seclusion. And that's very clear in the law that we have to collect information about when these things happen, and we have to report that. Now, the law, that's RSA 126U, requires that the department develop rules around how the reporting happens and how the department oversees that. Currently, what happens is the facility will report to a caseworker or to a juvenile probation and parole officer that a restraint or seclusion has taken place, but there isn't any centralized monitoring of that. And so what happens is you're not seeing patterns of the use of restraint and seclusion. So right now, all we have, according to the law, is a annual aggregate report that goes to the legislature. So that tells you that the use of restraint and seclusion is very important. The reason that it's in law, the reason that it has to be reported, is that because it's a very dangerous intervention. People have died in many states because they were restrained in a certain way. And we know from research that it has very negative impact on people, their health and well-being. So this one report that goes to the legislature every year, it's in the aggregate. It doesn't give us details about, was it one child that was restrained many times? Is it one staff person who hasn't been trained quite well to understand how to de-escalate a situation? Is it a treatment program that's just not working, or a child in the wrong treatment program? So those are even the time of day. Does it happen when we're transitioning from school to the afternoon? We don't know those things. And that's why reporting is so important, so we can understand those patterns, to understand how can we minimize the use of these interventions.
You're advocating for more data. We need more information.
Absolutely. So the law that established the Office of the Child Advocate, and by the way, this is the essence of the existence of the Office of the Child Advocate, is to shine a light where there are problems in the system and make sure that it's clear that we're monitoring kids who are in the care of the state. So in our law, RSA 170G18, it requires the department to report to us almost immediately when there are incidents. And we have interpreted restraint and seclusion clearly as an incident that needs to be reported to us. But because the department doesn't have a centralized system of collecting that data in the first place, they've been unable to report to us unless it's in the case of a special investigation that they have. We get reports about their special investigations. Sometimes we stumble over these when we're going through a case review, and sometimes someone else, like a parent, will report to us.
Do you believe that there are ways to use these practices appropriately at all, or should they just be abolished altogether?
I think that the law is quite clear in that this should be an emergency situation only. I think that we haven't done a good enough job at understanding behavior here in New Hampshire. We don't use behavioral psychologists enough. We're not doing functional analyses to understand people's behavior. We have really stepped up to think about trauma and developed trauma-sensitive programs, but before someone, especially a child, can really process their traumatic experiences, they need to be able to regulate themselves. They need some internal controls to be able to sit still and really focus. And so we need to bring in much more resources around behavioral psychology to help people understand better, healthier ways to communicate than problem behaviors.
Let's talk about the methods for this review. What exactly will you be doing with this review, and how will the outcome be presented?
Sure. So we started with the aggregate reports, and we've really been teasing those apart to try to understand them. There are some facilities that have much higher incidence of reporting these interventions, and so we're trying to understand what about those facilities makes them have those higher incidence. And then we look at really the systems. We're not going to be able to find the answer of why the incidence is so high, but we are going to be able to find what about this? Where is the weakness in the system that we're not able to monitor this? What are some of the things that we can change? Certainly establishing clear and proper rules according to the law so that we know what the responsibilities are of the agency and everyone knows what they need to be reporting. Developing a centralized database will certainly be a recommendation. You know, the department has said that they've been working on it, but we haven't seen anything come forward. And then getting people to understand the importance of what reporting means.
What's the timeline for this review?
Well, we're hoping to have it finished by the end of October, and that will really depend upon whether or not we get the information that we need from the department. We may go forward and just report that we, you know, that it's an unfinished product because we don't have that information, but we're hoping that that we'll get what we need from them.
Moira O'Neill is New Hampshire's child advocate. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks for always paying attention to children in New Hampshire.
It's Morning Edition from NHPR.